If you have your Old Testament, open to the first chapter of the book of Job. And I want to read the first five verses of this particular section of Scripture. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him seven sons and three daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all of the men of the east. Now I want you to watch 4 and 5. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day. And they sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Job was a father. 10 children. I can only imagine the problems that he had as a father of 10 children. Can't you? But you know what? The thing that impresses me about Job is that he constantly tried to atone for his children and to keep them where they needed to be with God. Such is a father. This is a very hard lesson for me to present. It is hard to do self-examination of yourself and to feel like that you are being honest in your appraisal of yourself, while at the same time talking to other men who are fathers just exactly like you. This was a continual job on the part of Job to try to take care of his children. That's why I believe that Job was a perfect and upright man, and one that feared God because he understood what God expected out of him as a father. He never quit as a father to chasten his children and to keep them where they needed to be in the sight of God. Now, we're going to have a lot to say about that here in a little bit. But these are the kinds of fathers that we honor on this June the 15th, 2014. Those who never quit trying as a father. Never quit trying. Fatherhood is a constant process of ups and downs. There are the good times and there are the hard times. There are the easy times and there are the difficult times. There are the times when you feel the weight of the world on your shoulders, because you understand, as a man, as a husband, and as a father, that God has placed upon you the oversight of your family, that it stops with you. You are in charge. God has put the decision making in its finality upon the man. He's the head of the house. He's the head of the family. And this carries much responsibility. In Proverbs 1 and verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father." Do you, young people, do you listen to your dad? When he speaks, do you hear what he says? Do you understand that he is speaking in your best interest? And that many times it may not be what you want to hear, but it is done out of a sense of love. The child is to listen, and the father is to teach and to instruct. Not vice versa. Child's not the teacher, and the parent the listener. The parent does the teaching, the instructing, and the child does the listening. Fathers, a great majority of men can be fathers. But that does not mean that they are godly fathers. It does not mean that they are good role models to their children. It does not mean that they are a good spouse for their wife. And I'm going to say this. Good, godly men are in great demand today in this immoral society in which we live. Anytime that I go anywhere, one of the first things that I want to do is I want to strike up a conversation with somebody. A lot of times, in the course of that conversation, I want to try to find out something about their lives. The doctor that I go to, he and one of his nurses and I have a relationship to where we're constantly talking back and forth about things that are going on in her life. One of the things that she has mentioned to me on numerous occasions is the fact that there are just not a lot of good, godly men. And you would be surprised at how many young women make that same statement to me. There are just not a lot of good men out there. Well, that could be said either way. Not a lot of good young ladies out there either. And that's sad to say, brethren, that in the world that we live in, with its challenges, with the things that touch our lives in so many ways, that there are not a lot of good, godly men and women. Are you a good father? And I want you to ask yourself that question. Are you a good father? Now let's qualify that. Do you know how to say no? And let's take that a little bit further. Do you say no? You may know how to say it, but do you say it? Yes is not always the right answer. Yes is not the answer that your children always need to hear. There needs to be an equality of yes and no. Do you know how to lead your family in the way of the Lord? Now then, let's qualify that. Do you do it? You may know how to do it, but do you do it? Do you know how to discipline your children? I got to tell you a story. Jace had surgery. It was last Thursday, wasn't it? Last Thursday. And so, Sharon and I went down for the surgery. And we were in this large waiting room. Lo and behold, as would be my luck, here comes this older man and woman in. And they've got what I found out to be a 4-year-old child with them that is there to have some kind of surgery. Well, they couldn't do one single solitary thing with this little boy. Nothing. I'm talking about nothing. And you talk about tearing up a waiting room. You talk, what he loved to do, they had these automatic doors. And he'd go and he'd open these doors and just stand there to where the door stayed open. And the grandmother would say, now, hon, you can't do that. You're going to have to get away from that door. That's just like a... meant absolutely nothing to it. And this went on and it went on and it went on. Well, they finally called the little boy back to have his surgery. They got him inside of the door. And for a good 30 minutes, they couldn't get him in bed. He was bawling, screaming, kicking, fighting. Finally, the grandfather got up and went back there because he knew that his wife needed help. And so he goes back there. And there was a lady sitting off to our right that had been talking about she was there for migraine headaches. And I looked over at her and I said, are you about to have a migraine headache? She said, I'd beat that kid to death. I'd beat that kid to death. And you know what they finally did? They slipped up behind him and hit him with a shot and knocked him out. That reminds me, Clay had a great old big English bulldog, and he ripped the whole top of his head open. Well, Clay wasn't around, so I had to take him to the vet, and they couldn't do nothing with him. And so they finally eased around behind him and hit him with a shot and knocked him out. That's what they did to that little boy. And so the grandmother and the grandfather came back in and sat down, and I told Sharon, I said, that's the most peace that they've had in no telling how long. But you know what I ask? Where's the mother and father? Why was it Grandma and Grandpa's place to bring this disrespectful kid? And it wasn't the kid's fault. It wasn't the kid's fault. He knew full well that that grandmother and grandfather wasn't going to lay a hand on him. He knew that. And so therefore, he just did what he wanted to. Do you discipline your children? And discipline is done out of a sense of love. Not because you're mad. It's done out of a sense of love. In Joshua 24 and verse 15, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now how could he say that? Because he was a father in charge of his family. And he knew that when he spoke, his family would follow. Why? Because they respected him. They respected him. And I'm telling you today, if you're ever going to be a successful husband or father, it will be built upon one word, and that is the word respect. Respect. Joshua had worked to earn the respect of his children and of his wife. Have you? Have you? Do your children respect you because of what they have seen out of you? Your efforts in regard to them? Does your wife respect you because of the kind of a man and the kind of a husband that you have been? If you say no, do your children respect you enough to accept it? Or do they backtalk and argue and murmur against you and say, well, I'm going to go talk to Mama about this. And they go talk to Mama, and Mama changes the decision, and then you got major problems. Major problems. No should mean no. Yes should mean yes. But there ought to be a difference. When you say to a child, if you do that again, I'm going to get you, and you don't follow through on what you said, what have you done? You've lied to that child. You've lied to them. And don't you think that they don't become aware of that in a heartbeat? Mama says this, but Mama doesn't follow through. Daddy says this, Daddy doesn't follow through. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11, Paul said, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children. Exhorted. Do you encourage your children? Now there are times when you have to discipline a child. But there are times when you need to praise your child. You need to encourage your son, your daughter, your children. Build them up with praise and understanding. And point them in the straight and narrow of being the kind of an adolescent that God wants them to be. Set their feet on the pathway of heaven. You know where that starts? Starts in the home. Not in the school system. Starts in the home. And when there's failure in the home, then that child will suffer the consequences throughout the rest of their life. Comfort. Our children many times need comfort. Talk to them. Put them, pat them on the back, and be ready to admonish. Charge. We need to set before our children the ways of life and death. You know what that is? Teaching. Teaching. Working. Instructing. They need to understand that there will always be a choice between good and evil, right and wrong, God's way or the ways of Satan. Always there's a choice. Always. And we have to teach our children to understand that there is a choice. And whereas the time will come when they will make their own decisions, they need to make good decisions. Right decisions. And decisions that are acceptable in the sight of God. In 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, in verse 13, his sons made themselves vow and he restrained them not. He restrained them not. Now you tell me, was Eli a good father? If he doesn't restrain his children, is he a good father? I realize today that parents can do the very best that they can, and things don't always work out the way that they want them to. I understand that. But at least the parent can look at themselves in the mirror and say, I tried. I did my best. I worked at it. I was visiting with a lady yesterday, and they have had one of the family members in the family that has gone through a great difficulty with his health. And I was asking about him and how he was doing and everything, and she said it's been a great test of his faith. It's been a great test of his wife's faith in order to deal with this medical situation and whether or not they're going to be able to get through it. And she said the one thing that he continually asks himself is, why did this happen to me? Young man. And yet, he is dealing with a terrible health issue. Eli did not restrain his children. He had opportunity to, but he did not restrain his children. I want you to turn with me to the 21st chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, and let's begin reading in verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, and bring him out unto the elders of his city, and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So that thou put away evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Did you get that? They had a son they couldn't do anything with. Stubborn. Rebellious. Had a lot of bad habits. And they were instructed to take him to the elders of the city. And they stoned him to death. Stoned him to death. Do you see the emphasis of respecting and obeying your parents? You know, the one thing that any young person needs to learn is to listen. Listen to your parents. In Ephesians 6 and verse 1, Paul, as an inspired man, said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God expects obedient children. And there's not anything worse than a disrespectful, rebellious child. Not anything any worse. And you know what? God knew that. And God understood that. And God intended for it not to be that way. in verse 4. Bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I want to read the following. Daddy had a little boy. Daddy had a little boy. His soul was white as snow. He never went to Sunday school because Daddy wouldn't go. He never heard the Word of God that thrills the childish mind. While other children went to class, this child was left behind. As he grew from babe to youth, Dad saw to his dismay a soul that once was snowy white become a dingy gray. Dad even started back to church and Bible study too. He begged the preacher, "Isn't there a thing that you can do?" The preacher tried and tried and said, "We're just too far behind. I tried to tell you years ago that you would pay no mind." And so another soul was lost that once was white as snow. Sunday school and church would have helped, but Daddy wouldn't go. Daddy wouldn't go. How many young people today suffer the consequences of fathers who have failed in their greatest calling, and that is to be a godly father? I want to close the lesson by sharing with you two verses that are found in the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, verses 18 and 19. "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Now watch 19. "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Now, notice what he said. "For I know him." I know him. I'm going to tell you something. Every dad in this building this morning, God knows you. God knows you. He knows just exactly the kind of a father that you are. Just exactly. He knows the good. He knows the bad. He knows how hard you work at it, how hard you try. No secrets from God. He will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Is that the kind of a dad that you are? Is that how you have instructed your children? That they know the way of the Lord? One of the greatest heartaches that a man can ever suffer in his life is to lose one of his children to a devil's hell. Think about that. To lose one of your children to a devil's hell. And I'm not saying that it is always the mother and the father's fault. God has a job. The job must be accepted. And the job must be done in order for that father to have a good, clear conscience on the day of judgment. Is that the kind of a father that you are? It's not my responsibility to answer that question, but the Lord will answer that on the day of judgment. I couldn't tell you, brethren, how many fathers that have said to me, if I just had another chance. Too late. Too late. You remember our reading? We were too far behind. We couldn't catch up with him because you didn't do your part when you had the opportunity. My friend, if you're in this building today and you are a godly father, I praise you, and God does. I commend you, and God does. And thank God for godly fathers. But now, if you're missing the mark, kind of like a fellow told me one time, he said, I make sure that my kids get to church. I said, do you go? Oh, no, I don't go. I said, in other words, you're telling them it's good for them, it's not good for you. I said, now, that's hypocrisy. That's being a hypocrite. So you see, today, if you're out there in the world of sin and you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ and your children see that all of the time, are you ready to change? You ready to change? And to obey the gospel and to be the kind of a man that God wants you to be? I heard about this fellow. And when he was born in the birth canal, something happened. And he could never walk. Could never walk. Never took a step in his life. Confined to a wheelchair. And finally, in his 20s, two men befriended him and said, you know, don't feel sorry for yourself. You have got the ability. You have got a magnificent voice. And you can make something out of yourself by using your voice. And you know what? By their encouragement, he did. He did. By using his voice. He couldn't walk, but he could use his voice. And let me tell you something. There is something that every dad can do to make their children better. All of us don't have the same abilities. All of us don't have the same kind of children. But God expects us to do the best that we can. All right, I'm going to quit. I said that 5 minutes ago, didn't I? But this is something that is near and dear to my heart. Let me tell you something. I wish right now that I could wrap my arms around my dad and tell him how much I love him just one more time. But I can't. But now, those of us today, if you still have your dad, you can do that today. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him before it's too late. We can assist you in any way. Will you come as we stand and as we sing?